Now we'd like to introduce Brother John Derhaushoff from the High Level Congregation, who will handle the next part of this symposium. Have love among yourselves. Do not keep account of the injury.
Can you forget? It can be easy if it's something like where we put the car keys or that dentist appointment coming up. Forgetting comes naturally. But forgetting when someone has hurt us by their actions or their deeds, that is difficult. But we keep trying, don't we? Why? Because as students of the Bible, we know that forgiveness according to Jehovah's standards requires a type of forgetting. Just think of his dealings with Israel. How many times does the Bible say that they made him feel hurt? They pained Jehovah. Yet, each time he forgave them and started fresh. This went on for centuries. How is that possible? Because Jehovah, rather than keeping account of the errors, making a list, he blotted them out. Do you know where that term comes from, blotted out? It's found in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. I invite all to look with me there. Acts chapter 3, 19. And that term is associated with a superb example of Jehovah's forgiveness. So that's Acts chapter 3, verse 19. So our goal is to read verse 19, but let's get the context of what is going on to appreciate the story here. So this is Peter giving his famous speech at Pentecost 33 CE. So this is him speaking. Who is he speaking to? Let's go to verse 14 and 15. Just scan through it to get the audience in mind. So it says, yes, you disowned that Holy One and Righteous One. Verse 15, you killed the chief agent of life. So who were in the audience that Peter was speaking to? Some who had disowned Jesus. They were there when Pilate had them before the crowd and were yelling, impale him, impale him. In fact, some did more than disown Jesus. They killed the chief agent of life. So this was Peter's audience. So now notice what he says in verse 19. We can read that now. He says, repent therefore and turn around so as to get your sins blotted out. That's the expression. So the sin of helping to kill Jesus could have been blotted out. What does that mean? In ancient times, the ink that was used in writing was easily erased when it was wet. So you made a mistake. So that's okay. You take a wet sponge and you blot out the writing and put what you want to be there. It was like that mistake never existed. It's a beautiful picture of the completeness of Jehovah's forgiveness. The result of this blotting out, let's take a look at verse 19, the latter part of it. It says, so that seasons of refreshing may come from Jehovah himself. So for all truth seekers, past and present, enjoying seasons of refreshing means that we can carry on with our lives, not wondering in dread if Jehovah is going to come back and pummel us with those mistakes. He throws the list away. Are we not glad that he does this for us? When it comes to forgiveness, it's no surprise that Jesus was just like his Father. What do you think? Did Jesus ever have a reason to feel hurt at the way his apostles treated him? Of course. After all the time he spent with them, there they would go, slip into another argument and a fight. That must have hurt Jesus. But nothing, nothing would have caused as much pain as the way those apostles acted on the night of his death. What happened? Jesus foretold what would happen in John 16, verse 32. Please turn with me there. We'll read that together. John chapter 16, verse 32. He says, "Look, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when each one of you," so we'll stop there. Who is he talking to? All 11 faithful apostles. "Each one of you will be scattered to his own house, and you will leave me alone." Let's stop there. So his closest friends, the ones he spent so much time with, so much patience, and he gave so much love to, when he really needed them to the most, he would have nobody on earth. They left him alone, deserted him. That could cause great hurt. But just because Jesus had a reason to take offense doesn't mean he did. In fact, please turn with me to John 17, verse 11. So he still knows that his apostles are going to jump ship. But knowing this, he still prays to his Father these words. In verse 11, and we're going to then take a look at verse 24. He says in verse 11, "I am no longer in the world." He's talking to Jehovah in prayer. "I am no longer in the world, but they," his apostles, "are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, watch over them on account of your own name, which you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one." Verse 24, "Father, I want those whom you have given me," again, those faithful apostles that left him, "I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am, in order that they may look upon my glory that you are giving me, because you loved me before the founding of the world." So he knows his apostles are going to leave him high and dry, but he says to his Father, "Take care of these ones. I love them," in essence. It didn't stop there. When Jesus was resurrected, Jesus assured these 11 apostles who fled that he loved them, and he even entrusted them with more responsibility. Wait a minute, is Jesus suffering from some kind of amnesia? No. His memory was perfect, just like Jehovah's was, but he chose to forget it and that he wouldn't bring it up again. He's not going to add it to a list for the future. How about us today? All of us are gathered here because we care about Jehovah and Jesus' example. That's why we have the Bible in our hands. How can we apply their example with regard to not keeping account of the injury? Well, recall that Jesus told his apostles to have love among themselves. So that indicates that when it comes to not keeping account, that's going to take place in the congregation. We're going to have to use that skill in the congregation among our close friends. In the following video, notice how a sister fails to imitate Jesus in this regard.
We had such a good time this morning. Always enjoy working with you in service.
Same here. And I hope Miss Johnson comes to the meeting this Sunday.
That would be so nice.
Hey, did you ever find your sunglasses?
No, I looked all over. I have no idea where they could be.
Hey.
Hey, Susan.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
You left these at my house last night.
Can you believe it?
What? Susan had another gathering at her home last night? And I wasn't invited again. I just don't get it.
It really had to be yours.
Thanks again. I'm always leaving my stuff behind.
And Helen, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Sorry.
I get it.
Helen?
What just happened?
I have no idea. Hey, Helen.
got a second? What do you want, Susan?
Helen, I feel like I must have done something to hurt you. And I want to apologize if I have. Is there something wrong?
I guess you had some more of the friends over last night?
Well, yes, a few.
Do you mind telling me why I'm never invited?
Helen, I'm sorry. I never thought...
Never thought what? That I would have noticed how many times you've done this to me. Well, I've noticed. Yesterday makes the third time in the last couple of months that you've had people to your home without me. Not to mention the four other times earlier this year.
I'm so sorry, Helen. I didn't mean to slight you in any way. And I promise, it was nothing personal.
Nothing personal? How can you invite everybody in the congregation over to your home for a good time, except me, and say that it's nothing personal?
Good evening, brothers and sisters. We invite you to please find your seats. Our meeting is about to begin.
Regrettably, our sister Helen has kept account of each time she was hurt by Susan. The three times, the four times, that's seven times. She remembered. And poor Susan, she wasn't even aware of this list of failures. She didn't know what was going on. How might Helen better handle her own hurt feelings? We don't have to imagine. We can watch this again and see if you can detect what she does differently this time, keeping in mind that it is true that she has hurt feelings still, that she has not been invited to Susan's gathering.
We had such a good time this morning. Always enjoy working with you in service.
Same here. And I hope Miss Johnson comes to the meeting this Sunday.
That would be so nice.
Hey, did you ever find your sunglasses?
No, I looked all over. I have no idea where they could be.
Hey!
Hey, Susan!
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
You left these at my house last night.
Can you believe it? I should have known.
Thank you so much, Susan. Where were they?
Right. Wow. Susan had another gathering at her home? Why I wasn't invited again. Wait, that's not important. She's so hospitable. I'm gonna pray that Jehovah continues to bless her for it. And maybe there's something I can do.
And Helen, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Susan?
Great.
Hey, would you, and you too, Alice, would you like to work together in service this Saturday? And then come to my house for lunch.
That sounds so nice.
Would I like to? I would love to. Thank you, Helen. What can I bring?
Both of you, just bring yourselves. I'll have everything ready.
Oh, it sounds good.
That was so much nicer. It's true. We are going to be hurt by the actions or the speech of those closest to us in the congregation, our spiritual family. It may be real, or it may just be perceived, like in the case of Helen, but it's going to feel real to us. No one can tell us that it doesn't feel real. But rather than keep account of the injury, we can, in imitation of Jesus, pray for the offender, that Jehovah blesses them. Even when we feel deeply hurt, and we're going to feel that, we can't stop our feelings, they're real. But even when we feel that way, we can forget in the sense of not holding it. This is the third time, the fourth time, but letting it go, throwing it away, and not bringing it up for some future misgiving. If we forgive and forget, we will enjoy Jehovah's rich blessings. Thanks to the beautiful examples of Jehovah and Jesus, we know how to truly forgive. The question remains, can you forget?